Hi there. My name is Rock, and my lovely wife is Ro. Yes, you heard that right. Rock and Ro. On behalf of Open Door Lake CC, I want to welcome you today and thank you for taking the time to listen. Today's message is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, titled Fight the Good Fight of Faith. In this powerful chapter, the Apostle Paul gives Timothy final instructions about serving Christ faithfully, guarding the truth, avoiding the love of money, living with contentment, and taking hold of eternal life. This message speaks strongly to the days we are living in. So many people are chasing money, status, comfort, and the things of this world, but Paul reminds us that the true believer is called to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So today, let's open our hearts to God's Word and ask the Lord to strengthen us, encourage us, and help us stand firm in Jesus Christ as we learn what it means to truly fight the good fight of faith. To get started today, let us pray. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your living word. Thank you that your word speaks to us today just as powerfully as you did 2,000 years ago. Lord, open our hearts. Remove distraction. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Strengthen us to stand firm in truth, to love you more than this world, and to fight the good fight of faith. We ask that you, Jesus, would be glorified in this study. In your precious name, amen. I will set the stage here. The Apostle Paul is near the end of his life. He has poured himself out for the gospel. He has planted churches, suffered beatings, imprisonments, rejection, and hardship. And now he writes to his spiritual son, Timothy. Timothy is pastoring in Ephesus, a wealthy, influential Roman city. Ephesus was filled with commerce, trade, idol worship, and false teaching. The temple of Artemis dominated the culture. Money flowed through that city. Religion was commercialized. Teachers often used spirituality for profit. Sound familiar? Paul writes this letter to strengthen Timothy in leadership, to guard the church from false teachers, and to remind believers what truly matters. Chapter 6 is Paul's final charge. It is direct. It is powerful. It is urgent. As we dive in deep on this message, we will start at section 1. This is called Serving Christ in Every Position. Ro, will you please open this message up with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 to 2.
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. These are the things you are to teach and insist on.
Thank you, Ro. Paul begins by addressing slaves in verse 1. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Slavery in the Roman world was different from modern race-based slavery. Many slaves were educated professionals, teachers, doctors, managers, but they were still under authority. Paul's message is very practical. Wherever God has placed you, live in a way that honors Jesus Christ. If you are an employee, do your work faithfully, honestly, and with a good attitude, as though you were serving the Lord Himself. If you are under someone's authority, show proper respect, even when it is not always easy. If you are in leadership, lead with honesty, humility, fairness, and integrity. Why does this matter? Because our conduct affects how others view the name of God and the message of Christ. Paul says this should be done so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Your workplace, your home, and your daily responsibilities are all mission fields. People are watching how you speak, how you work, how you handle pressure, and how you treat others. A Christ-like attitude can point people toward Jesus, but a poor attitude can give people the wrong picture of him. So wherever you are today, serve Christ well there. Let your attitude, your work ethic, and your character make Jesus look glorious. Section 2. False teachers and greed. Ro, Will you please read 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 3 to 5?
Section 2. False teachers and greed. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 3 to 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain.
So here Paul warns us in verses 3 and 4. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are conceited and understand nothing. Notice what Paul is teaching Timothy here. He is saying doctrine matters. Truth matters. What we believe shapes how we live, how we speak, how we serve, and how we represent Jesus Christ. Not every person who uses spiritual words is speaking the truth of God. Not every teacher who sounds religious is faithful to Christ. Some voices may mention God, quote scripture, or sound convincing. But if their message does not agree with the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says they are not teaching truth. That is why believers must have discernment. We do not judge a message by personality, popularity, emotion, or how successful someone appears to be. We test every teaching by the Word of God. In Ephesus, false teachers were causing confusion in the church. Their hearts were not humble before God. Paul says they were filled with pride, arguments, envy, strife, evil suspicions, and constant friction. Instead of building up the body of Christ, they were dividing it. Instead of pointing people to Jesus, they were using religion for personal gain. And one of the biggest problems was greed. These false teachers saw godliness as a way to make money. They treated ministry like a business opportunity instead of a holy calling. That is dangerous because when money becomes the motive, truth often gets pushed aside. Paul is warning Timothy, and he is warning us today to stay anchored in sound doctrine. The gospel is not something to twist for profit, popularity, or personal advantage. The truth of Jesus Christ must be guarded, taught clearly, and lived faithfully. Look at verse 5. Who think that godliness is a means to financial gain? That is dangerous. When ministry becomes a money machine, something has gone wrong. God blesses. God provides. But the gospel is not for sale. Paul exposes the heart issue, greed disguised as spirituality. Now we come to section 3. I titled this, The Secret of Contentment. Row, will you read 1 Timothy 6 verses 6 to 8?
The Secret of Contentment. 1 Timothy 6 verses 6 to 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that.
Here is one of the greatest verses in Scripture. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Not godliness with riches. Not godliness with fame. Godliness with contentment. Think about this. Contentment means having a settled heart because Christ is enough. It does not mean we never have needs, goals, or responsibilities. It means our peace is not controlled by what we own, what we lack, or what others have. True contentment comes when we trust that Jesus is our provider, our strength, our security, and our greatest treasure. So Paul is saying that when a believer has godliness and contentment, they are already rich in what matters most. They may not have everything the world says they need, but they have Christ, and in Him, they have enough. Paul continues. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. You came in with nothing. You leave with nothing. Everything in between is temporary. Verse 8. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. This kind of contentment goes against the message of our culture. The world constantly tells us that we need more in order to be happy. We are told we need a bigger house, a newer truck, better clothes, more money, more recognition, and a higher position in life. The world says, you will be satisfied when you finally get more. But Paul teaches something very different. True contentment is not found in having more things. True contentment is found in having a heart that is satisfied in Christ. Contentment brings freedom because it breaks the power of comparison, jealousy, and always wanting what someone else has. When Jesus becomes enough, the things of this world no longer control us the same way. We can still work hard. We can still be thankful for blessings. But our joy is no longer tied to possessions, status, or success. Our peace is anchored in Jesus Christ. Section 4. The Danger of Loving Money. Row, please read 1 Timothy 6 verses 9 and 10.
The Danger of Loving Money. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 9 and 10. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
Okay, verse 10 is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Paul is not saying that money itself is evil. Money can be used for good. It can provide for a family, help those in need, support ministry, bless others, and meet daily responsibilities. The danger is not having money. The danger is loving money. Money is a tool, but when money becomes the desire of the heart, it can quickly become an idol. An idol is anything we trust, chase, or love more than God. When a person begins to live for money, depend on money, and measure life by money, money has moved from being a servant to becoming a master. That is why Paul gives such a strong warning. He says that some people, because they were eager for money, verse 10, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. In other words, their craving for more led them away from God and brought pain into their own lives. That phrase gives the picture of self-inflicted wounds. Greed does not just hurt others. It also damages the person who is controlled by it. When money becomes your master, it can wound your soul, damage your peace, and pull your heart away from Christ. How many families have been broken over money? How many marriages have suffered because of greed, debt, selfishness, or financial pressure? How many churches have been divided when money became more important than truth, love, and unity? How many people today are living under constant anxiety because they are comparing their life to someone else's? Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You cannot serve both God and money. The issue is not just what is in our wallet or bank account. The real issue is what is ruling our heart. So Paul is calling us to examine our hearts. Think about it. Are we using money as a tool for God's glory? Or are we allowing money to become the thing we live for? Christ must be our Lord, our treasure, and our greatest desire. Section 5. I titled this, A Call to the Man or Woman of God. Row, please read 1 Timothy 6 verses 11 and 12.
Section 5. A Call to the Man or Woman of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 11 and 12. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Now Paul shifts. Verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from all this. Notice the urgency in Paul's words. He does not say, be careful around greed. He does not say, try to manage it. He says flee. That means run from it. Get away from anything that begins pulling your heart away from Christ. Greed is dangerous because it usually does not look dangerous at first. It may begin as a desire for a little more, a little better, a little higher, or a little more recognition. But if it is not dealt with, it can slowly take over the heart. So Paul is saying, do not flirt with greed. Do not entertain compromise. Do not get comfortable with anything that weakens your love for Jesus or dulls your obedience to God. Some things are not meant to be debated with, negotiated with, or kept close by. They are meant to be left behind. The believer must run from greed, selfish ambition, and worldly compromise and run toward Christ. Paul says to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. In other words, do not just run away from sin. Run toward the life God has called you to live. Then comes the charge. Verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Faith is a fight, not against people, not against flesh and blood, but against doubt, temptation, fear, compromise. You fight by standing on Scripture, praying in the Spirit, trusting God when feelings say otherwise. And Paul says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Stay in the light of eternity. Don't drift. Take hold. Section 6. The Majesty of Jesus. Row, please read 1 Timothy 6, verses 13 to 16.
The Majesty of Jesus. 1 Timothy 6, verses 13 to 16. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever.
Now Paul breaks into worship, verse 13. God, who gives life to everything, Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. Jesus stood before Pilate, knowing exactly what it would cost him to tell the truth. He was being questioned by earthly authority, falsely accused, rejected by his own people, and facing the cross. Yet Jesus did not back away from who he was. He did not soften the truth to escape suffering. He did not compromise his mission to save himself. That is powerful. Jesus could have defended himself in a way that avoided the cross, but he came for the very purpose of laying down his life for sinners. Even under pressure, he remained faithful to the Father's will. This is why he is our perfect example. When we face pressure, criticism, temptation, or fear, we must remember Jesus before Pilate. He stood firm in truth, he trusted the Father, and he obeyed all the way to the cross. So Paul reminds Timothy of Christ's good confession because believers are also called to stand firm. We may not face Pilate, but we will face moments where our faith is tested. In those moments, we must not deny Christ, compromise truth, or choose comfort over obedience. Jesus is our example of courage, faithfulness, and complete surrender to God. Then Paul declares in verses 15 and 16, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. That is an amazing picture. Jesus is not just a teacher. Jesus is the King of kings. He is eternal. He is glorious. He is worthy. When you see Jesus clearly, the world looks smaller. Section 7. Instructions to the rich. Row, please read 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 17 to 19.
Section 7. Instructions to the rich. Timothy chapter 6 verses 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Paul does not condemn wealth itself. Instead, he says in verse 17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. The issue is hope. Is your hope in your bank account or in the living God? Verse 17, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God is not against his people enjoying the blessings he provides. Paul says God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That means it is not wrong to enjoy a meal, a home, family, work, rest, or the good things God allows us to have. The problem comes when those blessings take God's place in our hearts. God is not anti-enjoyment. He is anti-idolatry. He does not condemn us for being thankful and enjoying what he gives. But he does warn us not to worship the gift instead of the giver. When money, possessions, comfort, success, or pleasure become more important than Christ, they become idols. God wants us to enjoy his blessings with gratitude, but he never wants those blessings to control us, define us, or become our source of hope. So the issue is not enjoyment. The issue is lordship. Are we enjoying God's blessings while keeping Christ first, or are we allowing those blessings to become the center of our lives? Then he says in verse 18, "Be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share." Generosity lays up eternal treasure. Verse 19, "In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age." Invest in eternity. Section 8, guard the gospel. Row, please read 1 Timothy 6 verses 20 to 21.
Section 8, guard the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 20 and 21. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all.
Thank you, Ro. Here we see Paul ends with urgency. Verse 20. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Guard the truth. Guard the gospel. Avoid godless chatter. There were intellectual debates then, just like now. Speculation. Philosophy. Arguments. But Paul says stay anchored in truth. The gospel does not need updating. It needs proclaiming. So, today go spread the word. Brothers and sisters, 1 Timothy chapter 6 is asking us, what are you pursuing? What are you hoping in? What are you fighting for? What are you guarding? Are you content in Christ? Or restless for more? Are you fighting the good fight? Or slowly drifting? This world is temporary. Eternity is real. Jesus is coming. Maybe you've been chasing money. Maybe you've been chasing status. Maybe you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are sinners separated from God. No amount of money, religion, or good works can save us. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, left heaven, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for your sins, and rose again. He paid your debt. He conquered death. And he offers eternal life as a gift. Verse 12. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. You take hold by faith, by repentance, by surrender. If you have never been born again, today is the day. You can pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Forgive me. Save me. Be my Lord and my King. I turn from my old life and place my trust in you alone. Fill me with your Spirit. I give you my life. Amen. If you pray that sincerely, the Bible says you are saved. I would like to be the first to say, welcome to the family of God. In closing, let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Protect us from loving this world more than you. Help us fight the good fight of faith. Strengthen us to pursue righteousness, generosity, and eternal things. And Lord, for anyone who surrendered their life to you today, seal them with your Spirit and grow them strong in Christ. We give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to this message from Open Door Lake CC. So from Rock and Row, it is always a blessing and privilege to share God's word with you. Our prayer is that this message has encouraged your heart, strengthened your walk with Christ, and reminded you to live for what truly matters, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Please remember, this world is temporary, but Jesus is forever. Keep your eyes on him, guard the truth, stay faithful, and keep fighting the good fight of faith. From Rock and Row, and all of us at Open Door Lake CC, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and fill you with his peace. Until next time, stay strong in Christ, keep walking by faith, and may Jesus Christ receive all the glory. God bless you.